Again, it's great to see you all with us today. Thank you very much for being here.
I love that song, Joseph. I love being able to sing about how great our God is. I know that you all. But what I love about that song is it's a rhetorical question and an exclamation at the same time. How great is our God? How great is our God? And that's what we need to remember, church, that in today's day and time, when it seems that everything that you can tune into or put on, from news to social media to just conversations with people that may not be of like-minded faith, everything seems to be against our God. Now, I know that's an overgeneralization because everything is not, but it almost seems that way. We're in a month where I am confident you have had opportunities to get angry. You've had opportunities to maybe respond to something that our God died for, and you may have responded in a way that maybe you regretted later. We're human, right? We get upset, we get aggravated. Even though we're trying to defend the faith, we're trying to defend the truth, we're trying to defend what's right in the sight of God, sometimes we do it as a peace breaker, not as a peacemaker. Maybe every time you go to the gas station, listen, I'm not judging anybody. I had a guy give me a handful of those "I did that" stickers. I threw them away. I just didn't think people needed to see the preacher at Azalea City Church of Christ putting that on a gas pump. I get it. It's funny but I'm just trying to say, by me putting that on there, am I being a peacemaker? I get it. We're upset with the economy. I get it. We're upset with all kinds of things that are going on. But what we can't miss in all of that is, what would Jesus do? Because everything I do, if I'm going to truly move forward as a Christian today, it has to be with the mindset of, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus have me to do? After all, wasn't it Jesus that recorded, He didn't record it, but He spoke the words, Matthew recorded them in Matthew 5, verse 9, when He simply stated there, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Today, my lesson is to challenge us. And listen, Brother W.T. Allison said it. He said, sometimes you got to preach sermons that move. They either move the church or they move you. I'm hoping that you won't move me, but I'm hoping that it will move us. I'm not calling Christians everywhere to bow down in cowardness. On the contrary, we need to be bold. We need to stand up for the truth every day of our lives. We need to stand up for what is right in the sight of God every day of our lives. It's not an option, it's a calling. When He said to take up your cross daily and follow Me, it meant to take it up every single day. But along the way, there is a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And I figure in this month, in this time, there may not be more of a timely lesson than to challenge all of us to be peacemakers. You see, it's my longing as a man of God, as a Christian, to be called a son of God. I want Him to be my Father. Just like I want my earthly father to be proud of me, I want my heavenly father to be proud of me. If you didn't think that Jesus' words were enough, the Holy Spirit put it on Paul's heart as well. In Romans 12, verse 18, Jace read to us from these verses a moment ago, and he did such a great job. But in verse 18, it simply says there, if it is possible, as much, listen to this now, this is the key part of this phrase, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now hear me out on that. I don't know that it's possible in today's day and time to live peaceably with all men. But I've got a big part of that. Sometimes it's an agree to disagree. Sometimes it's a let's move on. Sometimes it's a I'll pray for you. Sometimes it's a I just need to walk away. But we as Christians have to be like Jesus Christ. We cannot get to a point where we are so hateful to others that there's no chance to reach them spiritually. The book of Philippians, to me, is one of the greatest books in the Bible. They're all great, right? All 66 of them. But I love the book of Philippians. It is 4 chapters long. It has changed my mentality on so many things. I've been a negative person, and now I can read Philippians, and I can see what Paul's going through, and it challenges me to be a positive person. I can be down and out, but when I meditate on good things, I can change that. We could go on and on in this great book of how many great things Paul talked about. But to me, this book is such a book of encouragement that it is a book of peace. Now, I want you to remember what is going on in Paul's life when he challenges people to live as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. What's going on? Oh, yeah, he's been put in prison. Because he taught the truth of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you this. Did Paul quit teaching the truth of Jesus Christ? No. Are we saying that we should quit teaching the truth of Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. But we got to make sure we keep that love in it. We got to make sure that we keep that peace in it. Because if we do not, then we are going to build walls. You can't be in the bridge building business if all you want to do is build walls. There are people that are struggling with who they are, and I'm not just talking about from a gender standpoint. There are people that you will encounter in all walks of life that are struggling with who they are spiritually. It is still a spiritual battle. Remember, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Listen, folks, we could put enough people together that we could put a pretty good team of some guys and gals together that we could whip some folks if it was just flesh and blood, okay? It's not flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and spiritual things and things out of this world. And that's what war is going on. And we must teach the truth and never cower down to it, but we must do it peaceably and in love. If not, we are not Jesus Christ. Oh, well, Jesus turned tables over. Hey, there may be some time to turn those tables over. But at the end of the day, He was in complete control. Are we in control? Are we doing things the way God wants us to do them? Are we looking for the bad in people? Or are we striving to see the good? In Philippians 1, verse 27, let me tell you how much peace is in this passage of Scripture. Paul wrote, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." He called the church at Philippi to be united. You see, when you're united, you're not at war. You're living in peace. You're living in harmony. You're living in unity. In chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, he writes, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." What would happen if we all practiced that every day? Philippians 2, 14 and 15. "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Guilty, right? I've probably complained how hot it was already today. So I'm repenting of that right now. Can't say that I won't fall back into that complaining in a little bit when I walk back to my truck, but pray for me. Verse 15, "that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst," he didn't write this in 2022, but he could have, "in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world." You know what happens if I lose my cool and I try to get biblical with somebody and I do it in a mean way, if you know what I'm talking about? I quit shining my light. Oh, but I'm talking about the Bible. Not the way Jesus would. He said, listen, we're in a crooked and perverse generation. We recognize that, right? Satan is the prince of this world. That's a spoiler, right? We know that things are evil. Things are terrible. Things are... Listen, I am still amazed every day, even though I know Sodom and Gomorrah existed, and I know all these bad things happened, I am amazed every single day at something that grotesques me. We live in a crooked and perverse generation. But are we shining as lights in this world? That's a question you have to answer yourself. It's a question I have to answer for me. Philippians 3:16. "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." But none of that is the text I want to look at for today. I want you to get over to chapter 4 now. Let's read together verses 1 through 9. "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren," I love the way Paul talked to them. I love the way that he longed to be with the church at Philippi. He called them my joy and crown. "So stand fast in the Lord, beloved." But note verse 2. He says, "I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Now, let me pause for a moment. What in the world were Euodia and Syntyche doing? Well, how did they get sideways? What happened? I don't know. But for whatever reason, they didn't appear to be the same mind in the Lord after he just spent 3 chapters talking about being like-minded, esteeming others better than yourself. He told them and his fellow worker, he said, please help them to remember we're all written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He goes on to give a pattern. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. So, how do we go about encouraging the Euodias and the Syntykes of the world who may be at war, who may be battling, who may be crossways, maybe that's in the church. How do we go about trying to lead somebody who we utterly disagree with? How do we do it in a peaceful way? Well, I believe Paul writes the solution. He writes the formula. And I believe it's right here in chapter 4. And I'm going to try to share it with you this morning. The first thing we need to remember when we're trying to reach somebody, maybe some common ground we can find with somebody, is that no matter what we've done, no matter where we've lived, no matter how we were raised, no matter what language we speak, no matter what we smell like, no matter what we talk like, no matter what we act like, if we can understand this point, if we will come to the Lord, no matter what, we belong. Euodia and Syntyche, two women Paul desired to be unified together. He wanted the church to help them remember that they belong in the book of life. Isn't that what the Great Commission's all about? Go into all the world and do what? Make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even in this age. He said, go into all the world and make disciples, make followers. How do you make followers if you say, hey, you're a reject. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. I'm thankful nobody said that about me. No matter where we are today, maybe you're in this room and you feel hopeless. Maybe you feel like you've been shunned. Maybe you feel like you've been rejected. I want you to know something. You belong in the Lamb's book of life. So we need to make sure we're doing what we can to get there. God loves each of us so much that He wants all of us to be called His child. We talked about the Father's love, or we sang about the Father's love. You see, He's loved us so much. His love is so great that we are called God's children. And so, in fact, we are. This is why the world does not know us. It has not known God. 1 John 3, verse 1. You know what else God won't do? He won't pull His love away from us. Think about it. There are some people right now today that are living lives that are worldly, that are contrary to anything that the Bible teaches, that they say they don't care about God's love. They don't care about God. They don't believe in Him. They don't love Him. They want to do all kinds of evil all around Him. You know God still loves that person. Isn't that amazing? Think about it this way. In Romans 5, Paul reminding us, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Think about that. How many of y'all standing in line to die for a good person today? I just want you to know, I love you. I love everybody in here. But the line that Terry's going to stand in, no matter how good you are, to die is pretty short. And I'm guessing my line is pretty short. Hey, they're good people. They're going to heaven anyhow. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. What about the old serial child molester who's standing in that line? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Note this. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still fill in the blank, whatever sin is out there, fill in the blank, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from His love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor heavenly rulers of power, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:37-39. I like the way that version put it. But listen to me. That doesn't mean everybody that God loves is heaven bound. But it doesn't mean He doesn't love them. And see, that's the mix-up in society. Oh, how can God, who loves somebody, says He loves, the God of love, send somebody to hell? Well, God does love. But He doesn't send anybody there. In fact, He made every way possible to remind us all that we belong. You know what God takes pleasure in? Our presence. Do you know today you've made God smile? Because we're in His presence. Prove that? All right, Psalm 147:11, but He takes pleasure in those who honor Him and those who trust in His constant love. He wants to be around you. He wants to be around me. He looks forward to it. We belong. God gives His grace and mercy to all of us generously. Tough word for me to get out. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. Let us have confidence then and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. Hebrews 4:15-16. At the end of the day, we are all outcasts. We are. When sin entered through the first Adam, when we enter sin into our lives, we are outcasts. Yes, I know some are glorifying it, and I know some are bragging on it, and I know there are a lot of things that we could get frustrated and upset about, and I'm not saying sin shouldn't upset us. But the way we respond is to remember that no matter what, God still loves that person. There is a soul. Now, sometimes we shake the dust off our feet and we move on. Still doesn't mean God doesn't love them. Doesn't mean we don't love them. But at the end of the day, when we were added to the Lamb's Book of Life through the blood of Jesus Christ, we belong. Number two this morning, Paul reminded us that we should rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case we missed it the first time around, he said again, I say rejoice. Folks, record inflation, record gas prices. Yeah, it's a shame that things are being celebrated that Jesus Christ died for. All that being said, do we not have a lot to rejoice about? Listen, I don't really want to talk about bank accounts and finance. Listen, all of us, no matter what, I mean, we could all use more money. I mean, we'd all like to have more money. I'm just saying, it just happens, right? So I'm not talking about finance. If you can pay your bills today, I'm not talking about that. If you can go out and get a new vehicle today, a new boat today, take somebody out to eat, I'm not talking about that kind of blessed. We are blessed because we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If today you have been immersed into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, then there is nothing that should get us down. Listen, I get down, I get sad, I get downtrodden, but you know what? I have to purge some of that junk out of my life. Because at the end of the day, no matter what, I'm a child of the King. And I need to rejoice. We should have so much to be excited about, there should be no reason to grumble or complain. I don't preach to you, I preach to me. I preach to you, but I also preach to me. I'm hearing these words just like you are. I'm challenging myself just like you are. Even in the crazy times we have right now, there's so much to rejoice about. God blesses us with the increase, right? We have shepherds here at this flock that care about us. We have servants that are all around us. We are blessed beyond measure. So instead of being downtrodden, instead of being melancholy, instead of being at somebody's throat, let's be peacemakers. Let's rejoice. Let's be thankful for what God's done for us. Thirdly, this morning, this is a big one. He said in there, display gentleness, for the Lord is at hand. Let your gentleness be known to all men. You know, I think about gentlemen. I think about meek, which means gentle. Doesn't mean weak. Jesus Christ was the greatest gentleman who ever walked this earth. He was the meekest man. He was gentle. He was loving. He was kind. He was firm, but he stood his ground, but he did it all the right way. There is nobody that is in their right spiritual frame of mind that would not want Jesus Christ to be their Lord. Now, I know a lot of people reject it, but I don't believe they're in their right spiritual mind. They're allowing the devil to cloud it. But at the end of the day, if Jesus, in all the things that He went through, can be gentle, we certainly have to be as well. Let me give you some ABCs when it comes to being peacemakers, resolving conflict, and dealing with others. Maybe the first thing we need to do is do some admitting. That's the A. Matthew 5:22-24, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come offer your gift." If we were to talk in modern day times, as far as this was Old Testament pattern of worship, even though it's written in the New Testament, before we come and worship our Lord, we need to be right with our brothers and sisters, especially those of the household of faith. You know, if I'm holding a grudge, then it's hard for me to present my worship. That's not being a peacemaker, is it? That's not being gentle. So maybe we need to admit, hey, I've got an issue with you, brother. Let's talk about it. But then the next thing we need to do, according to some things I've come up with, is build. That'd be the B. Romans 14:19. "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." I do believe there are professional tear downers in this world. Deconstructive people. What I mean by that is this. I have encountered people that I believe they take joy in trying to point out your flaws. They're good at it. And listen, I got a lot of them. So maybe they don't have to be very good at it when they look at my life. But at the end of the day, somebody's always going to critique. Somebody's always going to look. We can't be that way. I have never preached a funeral, no matter how much of a scoundrel or bad person they may have been, when I couldn't find something good to say. It's just reality. Fortunately, I've preached a lot of Christian funerals, but not all of them have been. At the end of the day, it's the old saying, but I'm going to take it up a notch. Mama said, how about God said? If we can't say anything nice, maybe we should just close our mouths. I know God didn't technically say it that way, but it's implied. We need to build one another up, not tear one another down. And then thirdly, confront. Admit, build, confront. Now hear me out. The word confront has a negative connotation to it, to me, right off the bat. But not when you practice Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love. Anybody can confront me. And I hope that they would. As long as we come together to speak the truth in love. You see, that's the way God's glorified. We've got to display gentleness. Finally this morning, how do you do it? How do we get through these times, these moments, and not be negative and be war makers and not peacemakers? And how do we come around it? Well, I believe we've got to focus on the positive. And I believe that's verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Too often, now I've been around quite a while now, not around here as long as some have. But most of the challenges that I have seen, and we don't have that many, folks. We're a church that you guys get it. I appreciate that. Most of them have come out of people just being negative. Just wanting to see the bad. Just wanting to not see the good. In marriage counseling, sometimes it's really hard for that spouse to see the good in the other spouse. Maybe they've been hurt so much. Maybe they can't forget. And listen, I don't think it's possible. Maybe one spouse hurt them in the past and they can't move past that. So it's so hard for them to see the good. The more you turn on the news, by the way, I have more channels than I need by all means. The Game Show Network has really become my favorite. But I have more channels than I need. But the other night, when they were showing things that maybe I don't agree with and you don't agree with, and they were trying to rile up some things, you know how much of that I watched? Not one second. So you know what you need to do? Turn it off. If it is causing you to have bad thoughts, bad memories, want to hurt somebody, get it out of there. Get the Word of God, get the book of Philippians open. whatever things are true, just, praiseworthy, lovely, good report. Meditate on those things. Not on things that are going to make us want to hate and despise and hurt others. A negative seed might get planted. You know what the devil's going to do? Because he's such a horrible person, being, he is going to come and pour water on that seed so that it will grow in your mind, it will grow in your heart, and it will grow and become part of you. He may use our thoughts, he may use our friends, he may use social media, he may even use church members. Forget that bridge then, right? We've built a wall, and oftentimes we've included others in the building of our wall. Church, if we would focus on the good rather than the bad, I'm confident there will be less conflict and much more Christ. As we close today, I want to remind all of us that we are called to be out of this world. In fact, it is called the ecclesia, the called out. We've got to be that light in this dark world. We've got to set our mind on things above. If I'm going to not get stagnant spiritually, and I'm going to move forward spiritually, then I can't allow negativity and nastiness and disgustingness and things that make me mad and angry to pull me down. Oh yeah, I still stand against it. Oh yes, I still will teach the truth in love with it. I'll still do the things I'm supposed to do. But at the end of the day, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Today, are we willing to be a peacemaker? Today, are we willing to walk this aisle? Are we willing to say, I'm tired of all the things that I've been doing. I'm going to repent. I'm going to confess Jesus Christ. I want to belong in the Lamb's Book of Life. So will you immerse me in water for the remission of your sins, of my sins? If you need to do that, we'll do it today. Maybe you're here today and you have been holding on to something. Maybe there's someone, maybe there's something that you need to let go of because it's been holding you back. Maybe you need to do it publicly. You see, we have an opportunity. We have what we call a song of invitation. And what that song means, it's inviting you. It's inviting any of us. If we have a need to get things right, let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.